I'm John.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jason. And this is Digital Divination on the No Direction Network.
All right, we're back for episode 122 of Digital Divination.
I'm excited. 122. You know, one of the things that reminds me is that I'm an employee of Wizards of the Coast, and the opinions I express here are mine and not theirs.
Excellent.
What about those sequence of numbers, 1, 2, and 2, reminded you that you were an employee of Wizards of the Coast?
Well, in that 12 months makes a year, and 2 years plus some is how long I've been there.
There you go. 1 + 2 + 2 is 5.
Fifth That's right. Edition. Oh, I don't know that 5 means anything with. I don't know. It,
you don't. The 5 doesn't mean anything.
It's not, it okay. is. It's simply never, a number. It's a placeholder
number.
Number
never come between the, anywhere it, near it.
Nope. Yeah. Between the excitement of 4 and the thrill of 6.
Well, you know, I was thinking about something because. Yesterday, which was Saturday for us, though it'll be several days earlier because we are talking from the future. Anyway, Deb, my wife's work, had a holiday party, and apparently all the weekends between now and you would normally have one were taken. So we had one yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. That's early.
And is it post-Halloween, I guess?
They didn't say which holiday it was. So, you know. It's okay. And more, it's an excuse for, you know, her work's all remote, so everybody's all dispersed in the field. And in fact, a lot of their folks live all over the Puget Sound. So it was a reason everybody to get together. And like a huge portion of the company came with their spouses and things. And it was at Dave & Buster's in Bellevue, Dave & Buster's in Bellevue. And for those of our listeners who don't know what Dave & Buster's is, it's basically a bar with a big arcade attached to it and then lots of TVs for watching usually sports of some sort. And that kind of got me thinking about theme parks, like Starfinder theme parks. And so I shared this idea with both Jason and Ron in our Discord, where we do all our prep and planning for these shows. And
very rigorous and detailed prep and planning.
Yes, yes. And like well in advance of every show, obviously. Too. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, you know, what did you all think about this notion of Starfinder theme parks?
Well, I'm gonna derail this immediately because also I just want to talk about, we'll come back to, because you're going to say what you thought, right, John, eventually?
We're gonna
ask the question.
Okay, then I'll do that. Okay. So my thought was that what would happen if someone went and like bought the license for Starfinder and then made an amusement park in the present day, a la Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, the Super Mario one, you know, all the sort of themed theme parks, right? The really IP themed theme parks. Mm-hmm. And so you were like, come up with a couple rides. And I was like, oh, well, of course, that's like one of the things, like you, my bread and butter in a lot of ways. Yeah. And I came up with some stuff. Immediately for some reason, you know, I think of the river between is the log flume. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I also sort of thought, maybe that's too obvious. Maybe it should be Space Pirates of the Diaspora, where you get in a boat and that's the river between the float through and
yes.
you get, you know, it's the Space Pirates life for me, you know, et cetera, yeah. et cetera, et cetera. That was one thing. I wanted to do something. Now I've forgotten what it's called. Oh, no.
Describe
like,
it.
Like an experience? Mind.
It's a phrase from Starfinder, a place in Starfinder.
Should we just start listing off places in Starfinder?
Please, if you start list all places, I'll tell you what rides are.
Achtern. Akatarn. Absalom. Go through the A's. The B's.
Oh, no. This is the worst thing ever. Anyway, it was... It was actually, it wasn't a place. It was one of the books. Okay. Tech Revolution, right? Okay. It sounds to me like it would be like one of those sort of, you know, graviton spinning things.
That spins.
Oh, yeah,
just sort of spin you around and press you up against a thing. So that's Tech Revolution. You could do a Ghost Levels, Haunted House, basically.
Yeah. Ooh, you could do like a Ports of Call, like food court.
Oh, yeah.
Where you have like themed food.
Here's the Marixa Republic restaurant. Here's some of the other ones. Yeah.
Yeah, you could have, you know how they have like the Halls of Presidents at Disney World? You could have all the First Seekers from Starfinder Society,
there
right?
There you go. Yeah.
All
yeah.
lined up. And
in my tenure, the Starfinders went to XYZ and did the.
That's good. That's good. So, yeah, and if you wanted to do it like throw in a little like interactivity the way that Galaxy's Edge does it, you do like, oh, you come in, you join the Starfinder Society, you're given a like an app, right, that lets you scan QR codes and do things, and then you talk to NPCs that give you quests, and you know, you maybe at some point you go into a thing. There's probably got to be a you remember the Buzz Lightyear ride. There's a couple other ones, the Men in Black ride, where you like literally have a light gun, right? And you shoot it targets, and it's able to score you and how well you did. Mm-hmm. You got to have that somewhere. Maybe
where you're attacking the swarm, like the swarm's coming, and you got to shoot at the swarm.
The Attack of the Swarm ride. in complete 3D, that would be with some great animatronics for the swarm. That would be terrific.
We have what's the place that everybody now I have not played or even read Signal of Screams, but isn't there like some super fancy resort restaurant that everybody gets the invitation to at the beginning before things go terribly wrong? You should absolutely name a place that and have just the looming threat that something might happen when in fact nothing happens there. It's just nothing very happens. Nice.
It's just a place where you can get food and maybe some drinks, right? But my brain is also, it could also be like, you know, how the Disney had a Pleasure Island area, which was just a bunch of bars. It was just for adults, right? And one of those was the Adventurers Club, right? And it was very much set like a sort of an old timey 20s and 30s adventure club. But it had actors in it too that were playing parts, and it had masks on the wall that talked and stuff like that, right? Classic Disney style. You could do something like that with I think the hotel is called New Elysium, this asteroid resort. You can have that be like a thing that turns into a murder mystery every night.
And secret tunnels underneath. That would be fun.
Secret tunnels underneath.
That's how you got to places. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that sort of lead to like a Tower of Terror style ride where there's maybe like a drop into darkness.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that sounds fun. That sounds fun.
You know, there's lots to do. You could have an Akaton themed sort of like go karts when you're racing around in the dust. And
that could be pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if there's anybody listening that has any knowledge of like theme park engineering that like actually does this and is just sort of shaking their head at the impossibility of all the things where
it's not impossibility. Look, Ron, I played a lot of Roller Coaster Tycoon 2. So I think we have a little bit of theme park engineering knowledge.
Okay. I have not played very much Roller Coaster Tycoon, so I'm going to defer to your expertise there, Jason. You know what you're talking about. I apologize for insinuating otherwise.
Well, and I've been to lots of theme parks, so that makes me like a halfway expert too, right?
There you go. Experience. I mean, if they can do the stuff that they do with like Galaxy's Edge and stuff like that, I think, you know, what I've outlined is not completely impossible.
Yeah.
No, I think
except for the buying the IP and building a Starfinder.
That's not impossible. That's just never going to actually happen.
That's right. That's definitely possible. Maybe not plausible, but it's possible.
If someone out there, someone with a couple million bucks, just sort of wanted to give Paizo some money just for the idea of they don't even like to have to like buy it outright too. They could just let them lease, you know, to create a physical theme park based on one of our IPs.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Paizo would be like, yes, please do that. That would be so huge.
All right. If it were cheaper than a couple million, maybe we could just chip in and do it.
The problem is then you have to spend at least a couple million to build the actual.
Well, that's where you get investors, you raise money, you know.
Fair enough, yeah. Get some.
Unless you do it like the Willy Wonka experience of something went so terribly wrong in Europe, where it was just very disappointing. It turned out to be very disappointing to a lot of the people that were there.
Well, yeah, that's because they had the AI write the script for it.
All right, well, there you go.
Spent very little money on like paying people and sets, and that thing was a kind of a hilarious debacle.
Yeah, I think, we would get fair pay for the work of the amusement park.
Yeah, yeah, yes, I think exactly. Actors, paid actors, like they have at Galaxy's Edge and stuff, would go a long way for something like this. You know, to have the NPCs in essence, it could be like LARPing. You know, players could go there and you know have quests that they have to complete. You know, and all kinds of stuff like that.
That's true. They could wear a rubber vest suit in the middle of summer. Mm-hmm. That doesn't sound very appealing, but there are people for whom they think that was kind of great.
Yeah. So this is just to sort of like bring things back to point, you know, this is the sort of thing that got me thinking about Galarian World in the first place, was just having a Valoros costume where it was like, you know, just a big head and clearly just, you know, and then just going like, I'm my sword and a shield and just kind of like waving at people.
The tankard at his waist. And
A tankard and when he waved that around, just being complete. You know how like, you know, you think of like Scooby-Doo's and Snoopy mascots are like just completely silent all the time, right? Just that. It made me think of that. And like, oh, what if it were just based on all of Pathfinder? But then
you could have like big balloons, like the Thanksgiving Day parade with the huge balloons, but they're like Barathu and stuff. That's all big inflatable gas bags.
All shaped weird and be great. You know, have all the iconics walking around.
All right, so here was the prompt, right? I was thinking we could talk about what a Starfinder theme park might be like. And now we got Jason's take on it. Ron, what's your take on it?
Well, I don't wanna sound sort of highfalutin or nothing. But when I heard that, my immediate take was, oh, theme park adventure design is actually sort of a really untapped kind of a type of storytelling device that's used in a lot of role-playing games. It's a little bit sandboxy, right? Where the characters have freedom to go to lots of different places. But the theme park design is a little bit, it's like setting up a campaign that's sort of sandboxy in its nature. But instead of having sort of a bunch of, you know, oh, well, I guess we'll wander to see what's over the next hill, or, oh, there's a creepy castle on the crag, let's go to it. Like everything looks appealing and awesome. Right. Mm. And so the question is not, you know, oh, which are we going to go into the cursed forest first? Are we going to go to the cursed mountains first or to the cursed coast or whatever? But it's all, fun stuff, right? It's like, oh man. And so you get the players excited about all the locations they're going to go, where it's going to be, oh, we should go to the enchanted pool that, you know, can, you know, make any weapon you dip into it magical. That'd be awesome. I'm sure there's gonna be some guards or something, but that'd be super cool over there. No way. We've got this, you know, the so-and-so, you know, famous reclusive sword fighter school where, you know, if you go there, then you're going to be taught sort of the secrets of sword mastery. They're going to, you know, really amp up our ability to fight. Like, wait, but before we go there, right? And so you end up with kind of a campaign where the players are kind of yes-anding all the way through for all the different types of sites that you have and stuff that you do. Anyway, so that was the kind of what I was thinking, that sort of a theme park adventure design or even a theme park kind of campaign design would be like, where the players themselves are kind of driving that kind of little kid holding their parent's hand through now I want to do this one. Now I want to do this one. All the way through. And you can have a set of like challenges throughout. You can have an overarching narrative throughout. You can even have kind of an overarching threat through the whole thing that is sort of slowly peeled back. It's one of those stories where the characters think they're having sort of a good time at a theme park, but everything is just twisting to be a little more sinister every time. And they kind of see what's going on behind the curtain. And maybe it's, you know, the threat is a real insidious one that some of the people that seem like they might be friendly or that are known to be particularly friendly sort of slowly become more hostile in order to indicate something's going on. You could have sort of a that kind of structure for a campaign, I think, could be pretty appealing. That's what I thought when you said sort of a theme park plan, or you didn't say theme park plan. I think you said rides. I think you specifically said rides.
Well, I said, could each of you think of like 2 to 3 rides or in quotation marks, you know.
So no, and then mine immediately was, what subplots in kind of a theme park style campaign would be good sort of subplot arcs. And then I probably, as I was going through this in my mind, kind of excited, almost certainly in the back of my head was, get around to actual rides, like physical rides, because John will probably want those. But my mind never got back to it. I was already planning out the next campaign that I want to run, and it's going to be great, everybody.
Yeah.
Lovely. Cool. Well, Ron, let me ask you this. Like, if you were to use Starfinder specifically for something like that, would you take some place that already existed? Would you, like, here's a new galaxy to system to play around in? What would you do?
Oh, no. I even thought about this, too. Mm. No, what it would be, and there's been some touch on this a little bit, and Drift Crisis a little bit about this, but it would be a bunch of stuff in the Drift. Ooh, that you go to. The Drift would be the location, and because the Drift is a place that can pull in little pieces of everything, right, then it would be kind of a lot of weirdo, oddball, different things, but they're all kind of glommed together. And in this case, glommed might be a thing you could physically walk to across a tumbling, asteroid or something, but probably it would be something that's sort of a short ship ride to and from, because that way you can have all the character of having a character Starfinder ship. One of the locations could be, here's some, improvements that you get, some special things or more build points, whatever you're going to get for your ship to make it really cool. But then you can have some, some piece of the terrain breaks away, and then it's a starship bite or something like that. I mean, there's a lot of, that's where I'd want to put it, is a place where do a lot of crazy ideas all crash together in Starfinder? That's kind of in the Drift.
Cool. Wow. Yeah, that is completely something I hadn't even thought of.
Yeah. So
that's good.
You could be like the overarching plot is either they're trapped in the Drift and need to get out, or something's happening to the Drift that need to discover more about and save it, or not, or something. I like it.
Yeah, so my thinking was actually completely different based on this, what I did at Dave and Buster's, right? So I'm thinking you're in the future and you have all this high tech and fantasy and magic stuff. What's going to give characters a rush in that kind of environment, right? So you think about when you go to a theme park and you go on rides, they give you either some sort of amusement thing or some sort of adrenaline rush or whatever. But you already got spaceships, you already can fly, you can already do all kinds of crazy stuff. And I started thinking about a book way back when, I don't know if it's something you guys might have read or not. You ever hear of Dream Park?
Oh, yeah. Niven, right?
Yeah, Larry Niven's Dream Park.
Yeah. I like Larry Niven quite. And then also Westworld, right? So the idea that you create a artificial environment where you can really challenge the players, and then they can live out whatever fantasies or whatever exciting things they want to do. And you throw in a little Jurassic Park behind that for your animatronics. And so now, you have a Vesk who always wanted to go in and, go to a Tyrannosaurus rodeo, where you're out there riding them and, trying to take them down and stuff or whatever. But you could, enable the players to do something that is not necessarily like battling something in real life for life and death, but would still give them that same kind of rush. Yet them knowing that this is a ride for them, that sort of situation. And then you can have what Ron was saying is then something could go wrong in the background, kind of like Westworld, where all of a sudden, the creatures become sentient or, there's some sinister force behind them that turns them from, the player's always winning, even though it's a little challenging, to all of a sudden somebody dies, right? And wait, that's not supposed to happen here. What's going on? And then with the adventure, they got to figure out, they got to Scooby-Doo it, right? Figure out who's the masked guy running the carnival there and stuff like that.
Kind of what you're describing too, John, is almost every holodeck episode of Star Trek.
Yes, and it could be a holodeck. and I think that's a short. I don't like the holodeck idea because I think it's too much of a shortcut to say it's all holographic. That's why
all a dream trope that.
It's like I want it to be like they're out there and they're really they're really fighting the Colossi or something. And, somehow they have some tool that enables this, and all of a sudden it all goes wrong and they can't turn off the holodeck. They just gotta,
Well, I mean, like you said, Westworld was just the thing where you go somewhere. That's all stuff that is physically there.
Right.
Right. And it's just robots.
Right. So that's the kind of thing I was thinking of, in terms of what a ride might look like in Starfinder to really kind of push somebody and give them that sort of rush.
Yeah, I don't know that, and some of those might not necessarily need rushes. No, when you describe that, one of the things I realized is that I mean, I'm out here in a very rural part of the state. I could go get on a horse and ride it in a circle, like a real horse. But that's not going to stop me from going on like a carousel, which is also just riding a fake horse in a circle. So even some of the things that you already do in or can do in your real world are the sort of things that you might enjoy doing in like as a thrill ride or some sort of, you know, peaceful kind of ride in Starfinder. So something like, you know, get into a ride that seems like a starship trip through the diaspora would be kind of cool for Starfinder characters, even though Starfinder characters could actually go do that. It might actually be kind of cute for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking, like, one of the things that, so my wife's work has a Portland branch too, and they're going to go do go-kart racing next weekend. That's what they're going to do down there. They're not going to date Dave and Buster's. And it's like, yeah, go-karts are okay, but it's just like driving, but you're so low, even though you're only driving like 20 miles an hour, or 30 miles an hour, it feels like you're going really fast, right? So it kind of be the same thing. You know, now you're piloting a ship through the diaspora and you're having to do all this dodging of asteroids and all kinds of stuff. And you're just driving a ship, but it's built out. So it gives you kind of a more of a challenge and maybe, you know, makes it kind of fun.
Okay. Whew. All right. Here's how we put all these together, guys. So we're going to have a very popular Starfinder adventure that is about characters who are going to a theme park in world, which is in the Drift, and they've got to go to pieces of it all throughout the Drift. So it's a little bit of John's idea, a little bit of my idea, and it's going to become such a popular adventure that in the real world, that story gets licensed to become the theme of an actual real world theme park.
I think what needs to happen, though, there's an interesting thing that we didn't really talk about, is that this adventure becomes so popular that they turn it into a TV show or movie.
Yes.
And the TV show or movie is where the theme park comes. Almost nothing gets made into a theme park, a theme for a theme park out of, I was going to say Harry Potter, but that part came out when the movies were popular. Yeah. It was all sort of based on what the movies look like. There's almost no that I can think of theme park out there that is solely based on books. Moby Dick theme park or whatever, you know, like they're all sort of the visual elements of a movie or a TV show get pulled into the
Right.
Or a video game, if you're talking about the Super Mario stuff, right? You've got all the stuff at Universal, the stuff that, you know, obviously the Disney stuff.
So we need a Starfinder's movie universe started first.
Yes.
Right. And then we need interactive 3D video game that gets based off of that. Then we can build the theme park, right?
That's sure. Those are basically assumed. I mean, I don't know why we have to have a whole
thing. Yes, we didn't even have that conversation. One of the things that was sort of, I was reminded of two things, John, sort of talking about yourself, is the second episode of Futurama, where the moon is an amusement park, Luna Park, and they do it's just basically a normal amusement park that for what could happen in the current day, even though Futurama takes place 1,000 years in the future, and you know they've got like a midway with like stuff,
plain old carnival games.
And then they have the Whalers on the Moon ride, which is historically inaccurate, which is why it's funny. And then the other thing that was, when you're talking about Dave and Buster's, every time I hear Dave and Buster's now, I think of just sort of futuristic arcades and stuff like that that can be in the future, which would, you know, have maybe holographic stuff. But then that also makes me think of Blips and Chits, which is the sort of Rick and Morty future space arcade. It's just basically, like arcades machine. They have a virtual reality machines that you plug yourself into and live an entire life a la, Star Trek's The Inner Light. And then you come out and like, oh my God, what happened? Oh, this guy, he got a heart attack when he was 45. Ah, you lost. You stink. I don't know. The world of Starfinder does have all that sort of exciting stuff, you know, like you said, like maybe an amusement park in that would be more you know, recreational or relaxing, like what Ron had said, like, oh, you're just getting on a carousel and going around. Maybe it's just something for people to just sort of like chill out because they spend a lot of time fighting aliens and flying through space and whatnot.
Something like a water park with a lazy river, whatever that equivalent would be. Right.
The river between.
Yeah. There we go.
We're bringing it all back.
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, right? You know, you think about in real life, you know, I don't know if you've ever talked to like a police officer or somebody, you know, like Veterans Day is coming up tomorrow. You know, most police officers, most veterans don't ever pull their weapon, don't get into big shootouts. You know, there's not a lot of huge, you know, that's a small percentage of people and not even all of the time. But when we're looking at Starfinder Adventures, it's like, man, we're constantly fighting. We're constantly having to do stuff, you know, so we need this sort of downtime when reality that's maybe a small percentage of what they actually do in their real life. It's just we're capturing the exciting moments because that's what we're documenting because nobody wants to see the they're sitting around, you know, drinking stuff. Earl Grey, you know, reading the newspaper stuff.
it's the campaign is like the social media of their lives, right? Where you're only getting specific highlights to tell a particular narrative.
Yeah,
I don't know. A lot of you know, Starfinder ships and dungeons don't have bathrooms, and that's got to happen. So yeah, you're right. There's a lot of downtime we just gloss right over.
Well, I think I will correct you on that, Ron, because I think every Starfinder ship map I've seen has a bathroom.
I would a lot of times look. Check out the ones in the APs because I would always make sure that there was some sort of bathroom in there.
Yes, that's because it's always funny because like we're searching all the rooms and you find a bathroom. Oh, it's a bathroom.
Yeah, of course, it's got to be a bathroom.
But dungeons though, like that darn dungeons. Abomination vaults. You know, I don't understand how that whole ecosystem works there.
There's a couple bathrooms. Yeah. There's a couple bathrooms in the Abomination Vaults.
There are a couple bathrooms in the Abomination Vaults.
I'm still running it right now, so it's all still fresh.
Every level, though. Yeah.
Let's just say teleportation rooms are your friend when you're just trying to get rid of waste of any kind.
No. You know, some of the levels don't need bathrooms because the inhabitants don't use bathrooms.
That's right.
They don't bathe. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, what's a ghoul going to do?
Yeah.
What's a ghoul going to do? Take a shower? No.
That's right. No. No.
No. You're kidding.
All right. So anyway, so that's just kind of a little thing I thought we could talk about. So.
And it turned into three different things that we all thought differently, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think that's funny. Well, what do y'all want to talk about next time? We're going to be, it'll be 2 weeks. So coming up on, it'll be our Thanksgiving episode, really.
Yeah.
It'd be the last one before Thanksgiving. How about we talk about two things, maybe.
What sides might they serve around Thanksgiving in the Starfinder universe?
Yeah. What would a Thanksgiving, what does a Thanksgiving meal look like at Star? No. We could talk about holidays in Starfinder. What might constitute those?
Every world is going to have its own sort of like series of holidays in every religion we usually do.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot to in there. I don't really remember any of it though.
Yeah, that could be kind of tough.
I would have to do research, and I don't know. We don't.
Yeah,
I know.
Well, then, we're pretty off the cuff here. I will say that the more Starfinder strikes me as a setting as extraordinarily cosmopolitan, like intentionally so. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different species and a lot of different worlds and a lot of different religions and so on and so on. And the most cosmopolitan places I've ever lived get kind of exhausting with the amount of holidays. Like my kids were getting off in kindergarten. We lived in a particularly cosmopolitan place. They're getting off holidays that I didn't even know existed, but I was expected to like keep my kindergartner home from school because the school was shut down for a holiday. Don't get me wrong. I learned about a lot of holidays and that was really neat to learn so much about other cultures. But it ends up being sort of almost every other day is some culture that's important to somebody. And so each individual person or group picks, right, where they're putting their focus for their celebrations.
Yeah. So conceivably in Starfinder, every day would be a holiday for somebody.
Right.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, just how vast the you know,
who does all the parade permitting on Absalom Station? Yeah. That seems like it's going to be a nightmare job.
Yeah. So anyway, so we could talk about that. I was thinking we could do something Thanksgiving themed, though. That's where I was going off with that. So it could be holidays, big holidays that might be. So if you want to maybe think of a particular species or planet or something, and maybe think of what would their big holiday be. I think that might be fun.
Mm-hmm. We could just invent some lore too.
If yeah.
Off the cuff if we really want to.
Sure. Yeah, you could do that. Pick your favorite planet and say, you know, what you want to do there. I was also thinking we could do something like just kind of what we're thankful for. That's usually when we have a Thanksgiving one, we'll do something like that. But that can be relatively short.
especially if we're not thankful for much.
Yeah.
Grumble.
Yeah, I don't know. Other thoughts, though. I'm just kind of spitballing here at this point.
My mind is blank. I've been steeped in a lot of other freelance these past couple of days.
Well, you could talk about that then, you know, sure.
No, I can't.
Oh,
that's, in fact, I you literally cannot, can't. If it's new. Yeah.
I can't. I almost barely say that I have freelance.
Oh,
that's too much. Almost too much of a giveaway.
Oh, yeah.
It is not too much to say you have freelance. Come on.
I know. Yeah. I'm kidding.
Because you're not saying for whom. And
I didn't say for whom.
Systems or, yeah, and much less, you know, hinting at unannounced stuff. Come on.
Exactly. Know? Yeah.
That's right.
I mean,
that's what you got to worry about.
Is it Swamp Core? It's probably Swamp Core.
Swamp Core.
Yeah. Swamp Core. Yeah, I remember.
I know. I keep getting these messages. Remember, you can't talk about these things, even the existence of the thing yet. So, yeah. Okay.
Eventually.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Well, and then let me tell you, as somebody who is out of the Pathfinder freelancing circle for now for plenty long enough, the stuff that you guys know about and then gets announced to the public, and I'm kind of seeing it along with the public and getting all excited when everybody else is getting excited, it's a really different feel, right? To be like, oh, they just said this thing. It's so cool. And then my Paizo friends will be like, what? Yeah, I wrote that like almost a year ago.
I know. The lead time is so long, you know, from when it gets started and it comes out. It's like, yeah,
that would be kind of fun. A little bit of cultural building. Let's plan on doing that. I've already got some ideas for what could be significant cultural holidays for species or worlds or whatever.
I'm not going to think about it because I know if I think of something, I'll forget about it. And then I'll remember that I've forgotten about it and it'll drive me crazy.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't think about it now.
Well, and here's the thing. Maybe some of our listeners might have some topics that they think might be relevant as well. And so if anybody gets this far in the video, they could post those things.
32 minutes in, really? Woo.
Well, yeah, you know, maybe some people skip to the end just to see what happens. Who knows? Yeah.
Drop us a comment.
That's right. Like and subscribe.
All right. Yeah, we're actually supposed to say that at the very beginning if we want people to do that. But, you know, we're not really trying to push that part. So
you just said people will be skipping to the end. I just spoke. Oh, yeah. You, you end skipper. Thank you. Like and subscribe. Yes.
Okay. All right. Gentlemen, again, it's always been a pleasure having the chance to chat with you.
Yeah.
Always.
I'm John.
I'm Ron.
And I'm Jason. And this has been Digital Divination.